Today's podcast is part of our Sales Leaders Talk Sales series, where we talk about business growth and lessons learned with top sales leaders. Today, I'm talking to Mark Halpert, and he is a multipreneur.
That's correct.
I'm very excited to learn more about this. So, Mark, please tell me a little bit more about what you do.
Well, I started in my own business as a electronics payment expert. Decided that wasn't good enough. I wanted to do something else with that. And I sort of took the business-to-business electronic payments model and I switched it and turned it to also simultaneously being a nonprofit donation electronic payments expert. It's okay. The same thing, but a different audience. And then I decided as I was learning how to sell those services, I really needed to learn more about LinkedIn. And I became a LinkedIn coach and LinkedIn trainer. So there's a story behind that, if you'll indulge me. And that is that as I learned ways to prospect for new business, I learned about this thing called LinkedIn. We're going back about 12 years ago. And it was brand new. I had three Rolodexes on my desk. I had one Rolodex that had all the business cards of all the people that I would never lose track of. They were so dear to me. They were great friends, great colleagues that I collected all my career. I had a second Rolodex of people that were sort of good friends, sort of colleagues, sort of, but I didn't want to lose their cards. And I kept in touch with them every year, holiday time, whatever it was. And I had a third Rolodex of everybody else. And everybody started to move. Mm. And that was annoying to me because it was messing up my Rolodex, the nerve of them. And so what I did was I started needing something electronic. I started working through Excel and all these other things that were available at the time. And then a friend of mine called me and goes, I found your problem. I found the answer to your problem. It is called LinkedIn. And I said, Tell me about it. And he did. And I said, I'm going to look into it. And I did. And the internet was just starting. It was all very new. And it was perfect. And it was a way that I could keep up with people because I collect people like baseball cards. And I just keep restacking the cards. I keep reordering the cards as I keep people. And people can move and they can do whatever they need to do and change jobs and careers. And I keep up with them on LinkedIn. So one business led to the other business, led to the other business. And that's why I do all three at once as a multipreneur.
Awesome. Well, that's very cool. And I'm just going to speak to your book here. Your beautiful book is sitting right in front of me called LinkedIn Marketing Techniques for Law Professional Practices. So you specialize, you wrote this book specifically in this specialty area because you, I'm assuming, discovered that they had some problems and that they needed help with their LinkedIn profiles.
Well, the American Bar Association and I met on a very hot August afternoon and they wanted to know if I would be interested in writing a book about LinkedIn for lawyers. And I said, yes, but, and there's always a but. And they said, well, why not just for lawyers? I said, well, I know so many lawyers who don't only want to be lawyers when they grow up. Mm-hmm. They want to do other things, or they want to stay lawyers, and they also want to be in finance, or they want to do this, or they want to do that. Mm-hmm. And lawyers are not great business people, and they're really not good at branding themselves. And so I said, I will write this book for the American Bar Association if I can segue to law and other professional practices. Okay. And they said, wow, that's something we've been wanting to attack for a long time. And so I wrote the book. And it came out exactly the way I wanted it to until LinkedIn changed the user interface back February, March.
Yes.
The book was ready to be published and printed on the presses. And I had to pull the book. Bar Association was very nice about it. And I had they gave me 2 months to rewrite the book, and I did.
Wow.
So it's the only book in publication right now, as of this moment, showing the new user interface on LinkedIn. And also, it's the only book that really talks to law and professional practitioners of all stripes.
Okay.
It is not designed to be just for lawyers. It is for everybody. It's for you and for me and salespeople and people who own businesses and architects and financial planners and anything where you are providing intellectual knowledge. You're selling intellectual information.
Awesome. Now, where can our audience find your book?
For right now, and today is October 24th, it is available on shopaba.org. And if you search for the word LinkedIn or search for the word Halpert, your choice, you will find the book.
Okay.
As of April, it will be available on Amazon as well. It's also available in ebook. So anybody who prefers ebook, it is available on the shopaba.org website in either format. mm-hmm. It's intended to complement somebody with what it's really a field guide into how to use LinkedIn on a very effective basis. It is not put your mouse here, click here, do that. That's LinkedIn for dummies. I don't do that. I don't work with dummies. Mm-hmm. I work with intellectual property people who understand the value of LinkedIn. And often people either read the book or hear my sessions or work with me on a coaching basis, and they say, oh my God, I didn't realize you could do all that stuff on LinkedIn. Well, you can, and the book shows you how.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I want to jump in now and ask you some of these great sales questions and get your perspective and some ideas and feedback. And our audience is going to have some great stuff after today's session. I know it. So, Mark, tell me, one of your earliest sales memories, whether that was good or bad.
I started out in corporate. I was a banker. I was selling money. Looks just like everybody else's money. I hated banking. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really liked the training I got, but I really hated going out and calling in Southern Illinois and Indiana and some other places. And just, I was from a New York bank. They were looking at me like I was from another planet, and really got frustrated with it. But I was selling. I was selling. So I went into the other side of the desk where I was meeting the corporate, I was the corporate treasurer of several companies. I was having bankers come to me. But what I didn't realize was when I was banker selling to the corporate treasurer was selling the company to the bank. So I became corporate treasurer and worked my way through. I was selling the needs of the corporation to what the bank had to offer and had to select from the best service provider and mix it all up to keep the banking relations organized. I was selling. I was then getting loan proposals, and I was selling it to my CFO. And I was selling it to the board. So I've always been selling. I just didn't realize I was selling.
Very interesting. And that kind of leads right into that second question, which is, what role has sales or business development played in your career?
Well, I mean, I told you about banking. I told you about corporate. Now, as a multipreneur, I'm selling myself right now, all right? I'm always selling. I'm a business of one person with three businesses. You get me, 110% of me, not just 100% of me. And I sell myself as somebody whose mantra is, we exceed expectations. Expectations are low these days. So to exceed expectations, that's not always difficult.
Okay.
Often it can be difficult because clients have they have different expectations than what the industry can possibly provide. We're also dealing with imperfect technology. It's never going to be perfect, and things happen. And so I'm always developing my ability to help people better than the next guy, the next salesperson, the next service provider. It's word of mouth. It's referral. I get a lot of referrals. I network a lot. I network amongst people who are my clients, and I have to do well for them every time I see them. And I have to do well for the people that they refer me to. So I'm always on. I'm never not selling.
Interesting. Well, that is hopefully the first tip that of many to come. So do you think that we're all salespeople? Is everyone a salesperson?
You better be.
You better be.
Right? I was just before I saw you, I was talking to two women who want to hire me for an event that they want a LinkedIn training for, and I'm evaluating them. They're evaluating me. They had already read my LinkedIn profile. They had already evaluated whether they even wanted to meet with me before we made the appointment. It came by referral. So everything has to all sit together properly. If it doesn't, if there's a drop in any one aspect of the brand of me, and all of these are pieces of my brand, then I'm not a reliable commodity. And we're all commodities. There's another 10, 15, 20 people in New York City who do what I do. I have to do it better than they do. They have to believe in me. We're always salespeople for our own brand. And if you think of yourself as a brand, as a box of cereal on the aisle in the grocery store, what are those boxes? They all contain basically the same stuff, all right?
Sugar.
Sugar, start with sugar, wheat, and preservatives, all right?
There you go.
All right. What makes them different? It's the packaging, the color, and the way they're perceived. you want to pick up a box? Do you want to read it? Do you want to take it home? Do you want to try it? Do you want to buy it again? I don't exist for one-time sales. I exist for referral sales. Mm-hmm. That's what makes my business viable. I pick up clients. Yes, some clients disappear. Mm-hmm. That's part of the business. I get that. But I certainly build smarter clients all the time. That makes me better, relying upon myself. It makes my clients rely upon me. I had a phone call before I came here today. A woman called me. She said, I have this question. I don't even know where to start. You're the guy I need to ask. Let me. She said, it's a crazy question. Let me ask you. I said, oh, I know exactly what you need to do. This is. And she goes, that's why I hire you. Yeah. And that makes me feel good. I'm like, I've been doing this for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And that's an eternity in the electronics payments business. And certainly it's before LinkedIn even started. Mm-hmm. So I have seen all these industries develop with catastrophes like online donation for hurricanes and tsunamis and all that stuff and earthquakes. And I've seen LinkedIn change as the market is changing for what the needs are. I have to be on top of those changes. I don't expect my clients to be. So I'm selling knowledge to them as well as great quality to them.
Mm-hmm. So speaking on LinkedIn, I'm going to go on a guess here and say that requesting recommendations from people or even verbally asking someone to write you a recommendation for your LinkedIn profile is probably pretty helpful, right?
It's essential.
Yeah.
And it should be managed carefully.
Okay.
So first of all, let me just pull back quickly. I'm not an employee of LinkedIn. I am an independent advisor about LinkedIn for my clients. LinkedIn allows you to request recommendations from people you're connected to. Mm-hmm. All right. So first of all, you have to agree to connect to somebody, and they have to be people that are that value you and you value them. Being a connection is a privilege. It is not a right. All right. You only connect to people that you know and have gotten to know, my opinion. Recommendations from those people should be according to what I call the Halpert rule.
Okay.
Okay. You probably didn't know I was going to talk about this.
I'm excited to hear
this. The number of recommendations you have on LinkedIn should be equal to 2% times the number of connections you have on LinkedIn. And the thought process here is that 98% of the people who are connected to you like you. 2% love you. Hmm. Love you enough to commit in writing something that says, Mark has done this better than anybody else. Or Rebecca and I had an experience together that this is the experience that capsulizes, summarizes the great work that Rebecca stands for. You have to manage those recommendations. Too many recommendations, even at 2%, that say Rebecca's a really nice person, Rebecca does really good work, Rebecca's that's really boring. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be boring. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be cookie cutter. We want anecdotes and situations when you were under the gun for time, you had a really small budget, you turned something around really well with a little bit of money that you didn't think you were going to be able to achieve, or you were just totally crazed and the people saw you in action and you used the experience you developed throughout your career to demonstrate your worth. Those are the recommendations that you want, and you want people to say how well you do what you do. While I'm on my profile saying why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. So a recommendation, in essence, if we can extend that, is how well you do the why you do what you do. Two very powerful concepts.
Definitely. And very specific. You're being much more pointed and, you know, there's a direction there as well with those recommendations because they're being specific about your skill set and the problems that you solved as we spoke about this morning.
And you said skill set and the skills that you have on LinkedIn and the recommendations for the skills you say you have on LinkedIn should reflect each other. Mm-hmm. Don't have a recommendation for a skill that you don't say you have. Don't have a skill that you don't have on LinkedIn that you really don't have, and then expect somebody to believe a recommendation for that skill. And what's wonderful about recommendations is you can ask somebody you're connected to write your recommendation through LinkedIn. It's all done electronically. Mm-hmm. They write it. Basically, you ask them what you want them to write and give it to them, and they put a couple of words around it, and you basically get back what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Simple.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, or if there's a typo or they spell your name wrong, like my name is Mark with a C, I always get recommendations written Mark with a K. LinkedIn allows you to send it back to the writer and say, there's a typo, there's an error. Could you fix it and resend it to me? And then I will publish it. Mm-hmm. And once you've published it, you can hide some of them from time to time. Mm-hmm. If they're old, if they don't reflect what you want to reflect, or if you're trying to get business with a direct competitor of a former recommender,
interesting.
You can hide it and unhide it when you're done with that piece of business.
Okay.
So a couple of tips.
Very interesting. So, Mark, I want to know what is the hardest lesson that you've learned so far in your career?
I started my business on September 1st, 2001. 10 days later, the world came to an end. And the hardest lesson I learned was I knew I wanted to be in business for myself, and despite adversity, I would find a way to make it happen. And when all those planes hit all those buildings and all those people died and every business came to a halt in this country, the banking system came to a dead halt in this country, a lot of interesting things started happening in the electronic payments business, where you could now deposit checks electronically by picture of your check, because the checks didn't move on airplanes after 9/11. They just stopped. Banking system stopped. So what happened there is that I learned that while everything seems to be crumbling beneath you, human nature, human spirit is really interesting. We tend to find ways to make good stuff out of adversity. And if you wait it out, or if you think about it a little bit, you'll find that opportunity that makes you a better contributor to what you're trying to do. And a lot of that came to me in a very hard lesson. I really thought I made the biggest mistake of my career by leaving a really good job and going out on my own. And it's lonely. When you're out on your own, no one calls you. You've got to make all the meetings. You've got to get the contacts. And one woman I actually met soon after 9/11 said to me, she was a nonprofit executive director. She said, you may not recognize this, but nonprofit is an area that sorely needs your service. I recommend you take a good hard look at nonprofit. So again, take advice, even if you think it's insanity, because I never thought I'd work in nonprofit. And I actually love working with nonprofits to help them do business better.
Nice.
And that's like, I love working with attorneys and other professional practitioners to make them brand themselves better. It's that I got to give thing in my personality. I really love it when people appreciate what I'm trying to help them with.
And it also is better for the client. It's better for the person on the other side when they know that you're passionate about their industry and you're passionate about helping them in their specific niche. You know, you could throw a wide net to a vast amount of people, but if you're working with someone that, say, it's a field that you're not as comfortable with, or perhaps it's something that's not as interesting to you, or you just don't feel passionate about, It's at a disservice to the client. And I'm not suggesting that you can't work with anybody, but you know, some of us are niched in certain industries. And once we recognize and understand that, you know, we love serving certain communities of people, that's where we can really shine and make a difference.
Right, right. That's how I sort of niched into attorneys. It's been a great relationship with a lot of these attorneys who did not learn self-branding in law school. A lot of attorneys, and I say this with due respect, if they didn't learn it in law school, it doesn't exist. They just don't want to hear it. There's not enough bandwidth. They've got enough going on. A lot of small firms, solo practitioners, even large firms, they're just not understanding how to market themselves as a business. They're not learning. They don't understand how to get paid like a business. That's the flip side of my business. So I straddle both sides of the law industry. I straddle both sides of the nonprofit industry. As I said earlier, I take care of electronic payments for donation and event registration in all new and very interesting ways, as well as I teach nonprofits how to use LinkedIn to get more eyes on what they're doing. And I'm in the process right now of writing another book on LinkedIn concepts for nonprofit professionals.
Perfect.
So I see various industries on both ends of my sphere of influence, and they work really well. And while you would think that being a multipreneur in so many different crazy three different businesses doesn't make sense. That's how it all comes together for me. Mm-hmm. It's a piece of when you have a hard lesson, you learn a lot about yourself. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, I broke my leg really badly. Long story. Anyway, I was out for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. My clients, because I was good to them, they were really good to me. No one was screaming, I need you, where are you, what happened to you? I sent them all an email, let them know what had happened. When you're ready, come back, we have to work on this. So they were really lovely to me because I invested in them. Mm-hmm. So to your earlier point, mm-hmm. What goes around comes around. It's so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So now when you've kind of been faced with problems or issues or you go through different challenges, do you have any support systems or resources that have helped you that you think might be beneficial for our audience to take into consideration?
Well, I surround myself with absolutely incredible people, all right? I mean incredible people, leaders in their field. I've been very fortunate to count as friends and colleagues and confidants and service providers to my clients who I can refer the very best. Mm-hmm. I can call them up and say, hey, I got a problem. What do you think? I also have a wonderful web developer who does a lot of my development work for the online donation pages. He turns miracles for me all the time. That's you, Jeff. Yeah, that's you. And he'll be listening to this. And the other thing is that I really think that clients respect when I send them somebody because I'm not sending them just anybody. Mm-hmm. So as you develop a lot of connections, say you needed an intellectual property attorney in Westchester, mm-hmm. New York. You say, hey, Mark, who do you know? Well, I know about 10 of them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to evaluate what the need is for the end user and what the expertise requirements are to be sure that I send one or two of those 10 for the right situation. So it's about knowing the right person for the right situation and having the introspection enough to say, this one's really the one I want you or the two that I want you to speak to. Mm-hmm. That's the trust value and what people get from me. Mm-hmm. So try really hard. And I usually hit a home run. I try to hit a home run every chance I get.
Good. So now what are you not very good at?
I'm not a great salesperson.
No.
I learned that today. Your CEO had a great seminar for us. I took a lot of notes. I told him, as I saw him before we sat down, that I have a lot of common ground with him. We completely agree. But there's so many things that I still need to learn. Mm. Very few people get formal sales training or get very good formal sales training. Mm-hmm. I did not. As a seat of the pants salesperson, I probably missed some great opportunities and left some business on the table in my career. So I'm always learning. So I would not have missed that session for the world because I respect the fact that I need to learn a lot more.
Well, that's great. And I know that it can be tough, especially if you're kind of on your own or you're in an organization that doesn't have a large sales team. A lot of people, you know, they seek to learn more, but sometimes they just don't have that formal sales training structure that they would receive had they, say, been in a corporate environment where it's a sales team of 50 people and there's sales training that's going on all of the time. So we are very lucky. We feel very lucky and I'm blessed to have had the opportunity to speak to your group. This morning, our CEO, Charles Bernard, spoke at C-Connect, which is a networking group here in Manhattan. And I think that was probably something that, aside from you, I'm sure that many people would never have stumbled into a sales training, so to speak, opportunity. Lawyers and, you know, people in other fields, accounting fields, they don't often seek out that kind of information and content.
Well, most of the people in the room are solopreneurs, and we really don't have a budget for this. And I would invest in that as an investment for future results, mm-hmm. future returns. But we're also busy at the same time. I don't have time for formal sales training. Mm-hmm. He says it takes 8 hours to write your 20 questions about the things that you need to go in.
Your common problems, yeah.
Sort of have it in my head of what 20 of them are, and they come out sporadically as I sit with somebody. But I don't know how I would ever do that. But I gave me pause to think I better start at least do five of them.
There you go.
Nip away at it.
Well, if it's going to take 8 hours, you could split it up 1 hour a day for 8 days.
Well, when I get the flip side of that. When I coach individuals on LinkedIn, I do it in 4 90-minute sessions over about 6 weeks, and I give homework. And I'm not nice if you don't do your homework because you're not investing in the time and the money that you're spending with
That's
me.
Right.
I get a lot of people saying, I just didn't have time for it. Well, okay, next time you will have time for it. I get that. That the LinkedIn is not the top of everybody's hit parade all the time. It's not an essential, but it is a tool. Like sales training is a tool. Like accounting concepts are a tool that you need to understand how to make the most of. It's all part of the layers of the onion, as I like to talk about it. That the more you do it, the bigger the onion gets because you add more layers as you gain experience. Mm-hmm. So listeners out there, if you look at LinkedIn and say, I don't know what the hell to do with this thing, it's because you haven't thought about it. You haven't given it the time. So I'm talking out of two sides of my mouth, maybe. But we all tend to rely upon the things that we think are the most pressing and best return on investment at the moment. Mm-hmm. But often we're too myopic and not seeing what could happen down the road.
Definitely.
I'm guilty of that.
Definitely. And that's one of the reasons why we are such big promoters of the concept and idea of a sales playbook. Because it's one thing to go to a sales training seminar or to a LinkedIn training seminar and sit in the audience and listen. It's an entirely other thing to actually apply the things that you learned in your training sessions moving forward. So it's very smart to have homework in between to ensure that people are getting invested, that they're getting their, you know, their hands dirty, so to speak, and they need to, because that's the whole point, right? If you're gonna sit in a LinkedIn training class for 4 90-minute sessions, I would hope that you would actually do something with that information and content. So that's definitely the way that it needs to go.
Well, I keep my clients honest. So if you're going to invest in 4 90-minute sessions with me and you're done with me after the fourth session, you get to subscribe to my blog, which everybody can subscribe. You don't have to be my client. And the blog is every weekday. I have a blog posting, which is a lot of work, but I do it.
I was going to say, lots of work. What is the URL for that, for our audience?
Connect2collaborate.com. Connect2collaborate.com. And you'll see one of the tabs is LinkedIn nuggets. That's what I call it. It's a nugget a day every weekday. Some Fridays I have guest bloggers. Love it if you would guest blog about things that you could do better on LinkedIn for sales. You didn't expect that, but I threw that out there.
I would love to. I love to write guest blogs. So thank you.
So I blog a lot, and I have It comes out of real life, out of things that people bring to me, questions they bring to me. And it's actually, I'm amazed sometimes that I can actually get this stuff out there. Sometimes I have 3 weeks worth in advance because so much stuff comes to me. Right now,
that's
I'm
great.
Done for the week and I'm happy with that.
That's great.
And then I keep an eye on them. I contact them. Did you do what you were supposed to do? I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile and you didn't finally finish that. What happened to you? Oh, I'm too busy.
The accountability part of it.
You've got to be accountable. Mm-hmm. This is, LinkedIn is organic. You can carve it in stone and leave it, and then you've wasted your time and your effort. You can make it organic and make it grow with you as you morph and change. You have to change and morph your LinkedIn profile as you morph and change. If you don't do that, you're missing an opportunity. So a friend of mine just was published in the New York Times. She was quoted and there was a really nice article about her and blah, on and on. And I said to her, well, what are you going to do about that? She goes, I guess you want me to put it on LinkedIn. Yeah, that's a really good idea. You read my mind. So you have to keep it up to date. And if you don't, you've not given your audience and your readership and the people who support you the reason to give you the pat on the back and send it out to other people. It's social media. Mm-hmm. We have to be social about it as professionals on LinkedIn.
That's right. Now, what are you really great at? I know you're great at a lot of things,
passion.
But I want to hear from you.
Passion for what I do. I have an incredibly crazed passion for what I do. And, didn't come early. It came with a lot of work. I'm pretty introverted, which probably doesn't come across right now. But before I get up to speak at a presentation, it's like, oh God, you know, it's a little bit of that stage fright. All great actors seem to have stage fright. And not that I'm a great actor, but I do get good marks for presentations. I do answer questions directly. I will tell somebody if they're wrong. I will tell them if their perception is incorrect. I've been told I'm very direct. So I try to be honest and direct to people. I don't try beating about in the bush because I don't find that creates credibility. Mm-hmm. I write well. Didn't come naturally. It comes with experience. The book, my blog, guest pieces I've written for other people, articles I've written in lots of magazines and things like that. I didn't come to podcasting well. Speaking in front of an audience of one, like now, or 500, it's all the same to me. I go into the zone and I go there. 5 minutes later, if this is done, I'm going to say, oh God, what did I say to her?
But it all came from practice, it sounds like.
It is
over
practice.
Practice and the confidence to, you know, continue. And you're honing your skills. I have to say that blogging every day, the way that you are, is tremendously honing your writing skills.
It helps. It helps a lot. There are sometimes when I block and sometimes when I just like gush. Mm-hmm. It depends upon where I am, but it allows me to help people I can't see, but I can touch. Mm-hmm. For example, you can write an essay on LinkedIn called a post. I wrote one as a result of a trip I just took to Vermont. I took 4 days off, went to Vermont. I found that my senses were renewed, but just by being away from the office, mm-hmm. breathing clean air, seeing great things, tasting, smelling, all these things. I wrote that piece. I've written a lot of essays on LinkedIn. I have 108 of them right now on LinkedIn. They're free form, open opinion type things, nothing political, nothing, you know, nothing wrong, but something that just where I am and what hopefully will resonate with other people. Mm-hmm. And it does. It resonates all over the world. And it's really interesting. I got a message from a guy in Iran who wrote to me in Farsi. Hmm. Well, I don't read Farsi. So I have a friend here in New York who's Persian. And I took it to him and he said to me, I read this. This is really about the nicest thing anybody could say to you. And basically he said, I thank you for writing that article you wrote. I really appreciate it. It's things that we don't get to read much around here, but I wanted to let you know how much I appreciate it.
Wow.
When you get appreciation like that from somebody you don't ever expect to get anything back from, that's the ultimate in the pay it forward thing. Mm-hmm. He's appreciating something I'm doing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's a good story. Good
that
stuff.
Is a good story. So now books. Obviously, I have your book here, but do you have a favorite business or sales book that you'd like to share with our audience?
Can I mention two?
You can mention as many as you
like. Let's just keep it to two. Okay. Right. If you buy my book or if you read my book in your law library or your library, you will see that I reference two books. One is Simon Sinek's Start With Why.
Yes.
Mentioned
amazing.
Today. You heard my head shaking.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I like that. Start With Why. Great people in history who have had something revolutionary to tell have used why and not what. Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy. They were articulating things that people didn't understand because their thought process was so far out there ahead of their time. Mm-hmm. So instead of telling who they are or what they saw, they explained why you should be involved with this thought process. And it helped them very much, got mm-hmm. them to be gurus in their business. So in sales, we're often talking about something that people don't understand. But to tell them who and what is a bit insulting to educated people. If you tell them, explain to them why it's important that they think in a little bit of a different manner, and you can solve that pain, you can help them address the motion to get to the end goal. Why you do what you do. I do that with my payment clients. I certainly do that with my LinkedIn clients. If you get coaching from me or get training from me, you will hear me say, do not tell me what or why. Tell me why you do what you do. So read that book, Simon Sinek, Start With Why. Absolutely great book. And the other book I really like, and it's a book called The Startup of You, Y-O-U, written by Reid Hoffman, who just happened to be the ex-chair of LinkedIn, not because he's the chair of LinkedIn, but because he wrote a really fabulous book.
Okay.
And I do a lot of book on audiobook in the car, and I've listened to this book now going on 9 times.
Wow.
I never do book twice.
Wow.
This book is that good. The Startup of You, it talks about how you're always in beta. You're never a finished product. You're always morphing. You're always changing. And therefore, everything you talk about yourself, especially on LinkedIn, should reflect where you are at that state in your morphing and changing. Mm. And back to my comment about it being an organic document. It has to change with you. You have to talk about why you do what you do, about where you are right now. So I guarantee you, if you read either of those books, you will thank me. You can thank me now. You can thank me later. People that I have recommended these books, they just get crazy by like, wow, it just hit me. So if you are in sales and you are talking about the morphing, the changing in your industry and the product that you're developing or you're selling, that's great. If you're looking for a new career, and I talk about the Startup of You a lot with career changers, or for people who have retired and are going back for an encore career in something, you have to articulate really where did you come from, what makes you what you used to do to who you are today, where your past intersects with your present, mm-hmm. what your present is and where you foresee yourself in the future, because who else is going to be able to tell that but you? And who else is going to tell it as well as you? And where else can you tell it? You can't tell it on Facebook. Can't tell it on a resume. You can't tell it on Instagram. You have to tell it on LinkedIn. So if you do past, present, future, why do you do what you do, how you're morphing and changing on your LinkedIn profile, you'll have a good start.
Awesome. Now, wisdom. Do you have one piece of wisdom that you'd like to share with our audience?
Wow, I wasn't ready for that. I didn't read that far in the bullet points. Yeah, it's hard to talk about yourself. We were all taught not to. Depending upon when you were raised and by whom you were raised, you were told that talking about yourself was either conceited, self-aggrandizing, whatever the word was. And teachers taught us not to talk about ourselves. Just kind of be part of the pack. Kind of blend in. Don't blend in. Be different. Different and articulate your difference. And what's really interesting is that no matter where you are in life or how old you are, where your education level is, people are reticent to talk about themselves. And this is where you get to talk about yourself. So if you are over 23 years old and you're not talking about yourself, the competitor who is 23 years old is talking about him or herself. And if you're not doing it, you won't like what other people say about you anywhere as well as what you can say about yourself. So you have to differentiate yourself. And do that in everything you do. Be a great salesperson. Be a great whatever you are. But if you do it on LinkedIn and you talk about what makes you different, why you do what you do, how your startup of you is different and you're morphing and changing through this incredible, crazy world we're in, and the technology is moving so fast that it's almost impossible to keep up, then you will be recognized for the value that you provide mm-hmm. at the sales table. Mm-hmm. That's so important. So that's the wisest thing I can suggest to people.
Okay.
And write your profile a bunch of times. Different iterations, different editions. Don't publish it yet on LinkedIn. Let other people who can be honest with you tell you what they like out of each of the various iterations and then sort of shuffle the cards together and get the best you can get. Because we all talk about ourselves or think about ourselves in a way that is not the same way we're perceived.
Mm-hmm.
So the That's people true. You're asking for opinions and criticism, they can be brutal sometimes and that's good. But that helps you write a better profile about yourself.
So personal branding.
Brand.
And now, you know, Mark, that here at CFS, we talk quite a bit about sales playbooks. And they're a very big part of what we believe effective sales processes are built out of. So we're always looking for useful tips and content and best practices and things to for our audience members that they can take and put into their sales playbooks. Do you have an actionable tip that you might recommend someone put into their sales playbook, whether it's the VP of sales that's listening in or a salesperson listening in or even a CEO?
Back to my example about writing or discussion about writing, write an article for a trade publication in your industry where you are articulating your unique vision. And that becomes your calling card. So you may go to a client. That's a great leave behind. Or lead with the article. Hi, Rebecca, I will see you Tuesday at 11 o'clock. I thought I'd send this article ahead. Maybe you'd want to take a look at it. I'd like to discuss it with you to show you how my view of what your situation is might help you. I can't tell you how that opens up doors. Mm-hmm. Because most people don't write, can't write, won't write, don't want to take the time, don't think that they'll ever get published. Those magazines, online magazines, are dying for new material. So that's easy. Writing the article is really important. Writing new articles as your industry changes is really important. Mm-hmm. Be part of LinkedIn groups where you're talking to people in your industry to be a thought leader in your industry. Lead with the article or whatever the newest article that you have. Don't be afraid to express your opinion because you're not just an automaton. You're a thinking, intelligent person. People want to buy from thinking, intelligent people who are on the cutting edge. Mm-hmm. I always say that if you blend into the background, no one's going to know you're there. When you step out in front, again, this concept of being articulate and different and intelligent, that's when people say, you know that, Rebecca? I had a really great podcast with her. I think she'd be really an interesting person for you to meet. And then it's up to Rebecca and the other person to make it happen. But I've done the good deed of introducing somebody good, cutting edge of her industry, doing something different that gets people happy. It's all this wide world of, a lot of people know each other. I mean, New York is a very small town. At the end of the day,
it's wild. It's the smallest big city.
It's wild. I never thought coming out of Virginia, where I come from, that everybody would in industry pockets, in areas of the city, in, you know, just from people that know each other, refer each other, drink with each other, talk with each other, lunch with each other, coffee with each other, that so many people. I always say good people all know each other. And I like to be have part of that good people group.
Very good. Well, those are great ideas, great best practices to add to the sales playbook. And Mark, I'd just like to thank you again so much for being part of this. This was fantastic. And I hope that our audience enjoys these tips. And if you are looking to learn more on LinkedIn, please tap into Mark. His book is LinkedIn Marketing Techniques. And his website, I'll let you say that again.
Well, I'll give you my LinkedIn URL.
Perfect.
It's linkedin.com/in/Mark, M-A-R-C, Halpert, H-A-L-P-E-R-T. Or you can go to my website, www.connect2collaborate.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. You can find the notes for today's show at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod45. Be sure to tune in next week. We will be continuing the conversation on LinkedIn, where Elizabeth Frederick, our operations officer and senior sales advisor, will actually be interviewing me on an ebook that I wrote about how to generate sales leads using LinkedIn. So if you're interested in that and you want to check out what it's like to generate leads on LinkedIn, check out that interview episode next week. All month, we're going to be writing about LinkedIn on the CFS blog, so be sure to check that out at criteriaforsuccess.com/blog. Let's Talk Sales is a production of Criteria for Success and is produced by Rebecca Smith, Ariana Miskell, and Elizabeth Frederick. Happy selling, everyone!